Sunday mornings, we have been looking at new words, words that are familiar to us, but words that sometimes perhaps get lost in the busyness of life in our individual lives. And so this morning, we're going to add to our list. Thus far, we have looked at the word grace, the word forgiveness. Last week, we examined the word gospel. And this morning, for our time, we're going to look at the word servant. Every time I read through the Gospels, I'm amazed by Jesus. No matter how many times I have read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, every time I read these stories, I'm amazed by our Savior. I'm amazed about His mercy, His love, His kindness, the patience that He has. Every time I read about Christ, I'm amazed. I'm also amazed by people. But often in the opposite way. Jesus never ceases to amaze me in a good way. Sometimes as I read the interaction that he has with people, I'm amazed in a negative way by how people respond to Jesus, by what they say to him and want to do to him. This morning we're going to see both sides of this as we look at Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 40. James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus saying, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Grant that we may sit, one on your right and one on your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? Or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you shall drink, and you shall be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. But to sit on my right or on my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those to whom it has been prepared." Humanity hasn't really changed much over the years. First century struggles are 21st century struggles. First century sins are 21st century sins. One of the biggest struggles that we have as humanity is selfishness. Here in Mark 10, verse 35, James and John, they come up to Jesus, and they're taking advantage of who Jesus is. They have spent time with him. They have been involved in his ministry. But they come up to Jesus, and this is the statement that they make. "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." They didn't understand what they were doing. They didn't know what they were about to ask Jesus. They really didn't understand what they were getting themselves into. They were involved in Jesus' ministry, but they really didn't grasp what it was going to be about. But they continue on. And here they make the request. They said to Jesus, "Grant that we may sit one on your right and one on your left in your glory." Now, how would you describe this request? They know Jesus. They know who he is. They know his power. They're amazed by him just the way we are as we read about him in the Gospels. The only difference is they were living it. We read about Jesus, we read about the healing, we read of his teachings. They were right there. They had a front row seat to everything that he was doing. And so they understood what Jesus was capable of. And so they come to him and they say, "Hey Jesus, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. We know you have power. We know you're able to do all of these amazing things. We want a part of this. We want a piece of the action." And so they say to Jesus, "Grant that we may sit one on your right and one on your left in your glory." How would you describe this request? If you were going to sum up this statement that these apostles made to Jesus, what word best describes their mindset? Well, this request, it was rooted in selfishness. "I want the best seat in the house. Jesus, make this possible for me. I want the highest place of honor. Elevate me above all of these other apostles." That mindset is prevalent today in our world. First century struggles are 21st century struggles. First century sins are 21st century sins. How do you think the other apostles responded? Well, their response is predictably, you're able to see it. You know what they're going to do. It's disappointing. In Mark 10, verse 41, they heard what the other two had requested from Jesus, and they were enraged. They were filled with anger. The ten began to feel indignant with James and John. You know, sometimes you hope for more from humanity than what you get. We hoped for more from the other 12. We hoped for more from James and John and the requests that they made. But we get exactly what we expect from humanity. They were furious. They were indignant. And so what Jesus does is he uses the tension that's here to teach a powerful lesson. You have two apostles coming to Jesus making this request that's out of line. The other 10, they're filled with anger. And so Jesus, he brings the 12 together and he teaches them. And he says to them, you know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. What does Jesus say to the apostles? What does he say to James and John? What does he say to the other 10 who are so angry? He tells them it's not about you. It's not about your own selfish desires. It's not always about what you want. He challenges them to think differently. And he brings it home to a level everybody can understand. If you want to be great, and that's what James and John wanted. They wanted to be great. They wanted everybody else to look at them and see how amazing they were. If you want to be great, be a servant. That's what Jesus tells them. If you want to be first, be slave of all. You see, we have to be different to be like Jesus. We have to think differently to live the way he lived. We must become a servant. We must become a slave. In Philippians chapter 2, we now enter the world of a first century church. And just like people, we have our struggles, so do churches. And this church was struggling to live like Christ, and so Paul is presenting Jesus in front of them. And beginning in verse 1, we see a clear challenge from Paul. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Some of the most important endeavors in life are also marked with the most difficulty. There is nothing more challenging, nothing more crucial, nothing more vital than for Christians to live like Jesus. And that's what Paul is telling this church. You need to live like Christ. You need to have his mindset in order to be able to display his actions out in the world. There's nothing more important than for a church to embrace Jesus Christ and live the life he lived. Jesus, he shows us how to do it. If you continue reading here in Philippians chapter 2, we know that Jesus let go of being God. He didn't hold on to that. He didn't hold on to what he had. He let go of that to come down here to earth to serve us. Jesus basically shows us how to get over ourselves. Everything isn't about me. As we look at the mind of Christ, we see the pathway to becoming like Jesus. The challenge is to think the way he thought. What follows next from Paul is the prescription to make this a reality. We see the pathway that we have to follow if we really want to be like Jesus. Everything that we need to be like Christ, it's right here. God has given it to us. These are foolproof instructions. But we need to be cautious. We need to be aware that this very well may be the hardest, most difficult, most intense journey we ever take in life. Right here it is. In Philippians 2, 3, and 4, this is what you have to do to be like Jesus. And as you look at these words and as I read them to you, you're going to think to yourself, that's pretty hard. This is tough to do. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. James and John, they were only concerned about themselves. We want the best seat. We want the best place of honor. Jesus, make this possible for us. They had no regard for the other 10. They had no regard for anybody else, period. They were only concerned about themselves. And so Jesus, he used that as an opportunity to teach them a lesson about service. Paul, as he's ministering to this church at Philippi, he shows them, this is what you have to do to be like Jesus. Now, how hard is it to do this? Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Today's a great day to start living this life. We have to start somewhere. We have to start sometime. Today is a great day to start developing this mindset, this mind of Christ, this mind of selflessness. Today's a great day to start living this in our marriages. Today's a great day to start living this in all of our relationships, elevating other people above ourselves. We need to get involved with the work of the church. We need to get involved in the lives of people. In today's ministry sign-up, it's a great place to start. And I know we have guests here with us today, and as we go through this, this is an opportunity for you to see what we try to be about. As we try to develop this mindset, as we strive to be like Jesus, these ministries are just opportunities for us to serve, opportunities for us to try to follow in the footsteps of Jesus.